You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Well, let's face it, it has been a painful year in Sacramento. Just as the city started to emerge from the pandemic, with restaurants, bars, and clubs reopening with looser restrictions, in April, a mass shooting on K Street left 6 dead and 12 injured. 3 months later, a shooting outside Mixed Nightclub killed one person and injured 4 others. And then in late September, a shooting happened outside Bar West on J Street. A man was shot and killed. The aftermath is trauma and mourning, and something that we are still very much in. But there are also people nervous about going out and staying out late in the city center. And it's hard because after being shut down or limited in so many ways during the height of COVID, businesses want the crowds. They need the crowds. And we all want the vibe of downtown to come back. Sacramento was on a roll with Downtown Commons, DoCo, the arena, the bars, and the restaurants. But of course, safety comes first. The city is moving forward with the Sacramento's first nighttime economy manager. Her name is Tina Lee Vogt, and she joins us to talk about her new role and how she plans on making the city core a vibrant, fun, and safe place to enjoy. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning.
Okay, if you can write a job description for nighttime economy manager, what would it be?
I think the most important part of my role is really collaborating with others to make sure that the city is safe. I've been involved with the entertainment program for about 10 years, and so our goal has always been to provide a safe, festive, and successful nightlife in the city of Sacramento. And so what I'm going to do in this new role is focus 100% of my time on that and then work with all the different factors that are involved with that. So it's planning for people to be able to enjoy downtown safely. It's working on safety measures, which is not just within our venues, but the outside area, working with our police department. And then, as you said, really having a vibrant nightlife with a lot of different options for people to enjoy.
You know, given that you've been with the city in various capacities and entertainment capacities for a decade, you're a resident in Sacramento. How has the past year been for you? I know collectively it's been traumatic and painful for us, especially in the downtown area with what's happened.
I think of the events that have recently happened are really troubling, and I think I can understand why a lot of people are nervous. But unfortunately, it's really a bigger symptom of what's kind of going on. I think if we just focus and say that this is happening in entertainment areas, that would be inappropriate, because really gun violence touches all aspects of life, and it really happens whenever you have people.
Yeah.
So it's really trying to make sure that we understand that even though it's happened most recently and we've had these really troubling incidents in our downtown core and in our entertainment areas, that by and large our entertainment districts, we really focus on safety and put a lot of different measures in to ensure that they're safe. I also want to make sure folks understand that we're not addressing safety with the hiring of me and putting me in this position now. This has always been a goal with the city. As long as I've been involved with the program, we've always had safety measures involved. We've done a quarterly pub, clubs, and bars training that we do with all of our venues where we talk about safety. We do active shooter training that we've done actually on site at our venues. We've had police come in and do training on gang recognition. We've had ABC come in and talk about different things. So safety has always been first and foremost for us.
How did this position come to be?
I think as we saw entertainment really grow in the city of Sacramento, when I first started in 2009, frankly, when they put me in this position, I didn't even know the city issued entertainment permits. I'm like, what, we do this? And so what we saw is an increase in entertainment activity. And it's really a very complex issue, because I think a lot of folks think that it's just the police aspect in terms of what happens, but it really starts from the beginning with planning. It's working with parking and transportation. So there's a lot of different factors. And we realized that you really needed one person who could coordinate that. And so for a while, the city had been investigating what a number of different cities do and have someone that's in that position. So there's a lot of different titles for it. Some people call it a night mayor. And I always have to make sure I say it right, because if you say it wrong, it sounds like a nightmare. So we need to make sure that there's
a... Say it slowly.
Yes. So, but a lot of different cities have this position in place. And Sacramento realized that we were getting to the point where we really needed to have that one person who was the central point of focus, who can kind of pull it all together.
Yeah. I mean, it has just changed by leaps and bounds since not only 2009, but I was just looking at, I think we're on like the 6-year anniversary of when Golden One Center like opened with Paul McCartney, and I was there for that. You know, you mentioned that there are other cities or areas across the country that have either a night mayor or a nighttime economy manager. Is there a gold standard, or do you look to, you know, a certain city or region and try to learn from their success?
So for the past probably, I'd probably say 6 or 7 years, I've been involved with an organization called Responsible Hospitality Institute, or RHI. And so they bring together a lot of cities that focus on different things. And what's come out of that is an organization called NightCap, and I'm actually part of that. And it's actually an alliance of people in positions similar to mine. And so we've just kind of started getting together. So when you're looking at standards, that's really our goal, is to work together because we have common issues and identify what are some of the best practices, what are some of the issues we're looking at in terms of policy, in terms of security. Some of it's, for example, we're having a big discussion on streamlining processes to make it easier for folks to be compliant with city codes that we have in place. We've looked at different things in terms of what are some of the best security measures. So there is an organization that is trying to look at developing that best standards citywide so we can all work to, nationwide, so we can all work together to see how we can address our different issues.
Yeah, because, I mean, what I'm hearing is there's a larger conversation taking place. You know, this isn't just a city of Sacramento issue. It's a national one.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. When it comes to practices, what people may see or feel that's different, you know, in the next, you know, year or so, what are your priorities? What are the practices that you want to implement as nighttime economy manager?
Well, first and foremost for me is really doing outreach and getting a really good pulse as to what's going on, because even though I've been doing entertainment for a while, it hasn't been my full-time job, and there's other aspects that I want to focus on. I think security is really important, and one of the things that we saw, as you said earlier, was with COVID, we had the shutdown, and one of the challenges that we're seeing is twofold. One is that we're seeing that there was a turnover in the security guards that were in place. So we're finding that we really need to work with, there are frontline folks, and we've always worked with them on providing training. So it's really important to provide venue training so that security guards not only understand when issues are occurring, but how they can focus on de-escalation. Because we're seeing a lot of times what are happening is incidents happen in a venue and then it goes outside or something happens. So if we can have security guards identify problems and address them before they become bigger, we can really de-escalate some things. So it's really working on rebuilding that training for our security guards. It's also, some of it's a little odd, but patron behavior really changed with COVID. You saw that people before were a little mellower, but there's a little bit, I think once people kind of got out into the clubs, they didn't want to follow the rules as much. We found that be an issue with security, where when people would be asked to do different things. So it's really kind of working with a little bit of crowd management and working with them as well.
Yeah, I mean, a combination of alcohol is not really a good idea. And we've even seen it in videos. It doesn't pertain to the city of Sacramento, but even with like airlines, you know, we've seen behavior change.
Yeah. And I think that's something that when I talked to some of our businesses, they said was something that really surprised them, is that before, when you would say something like, hey, it's the end of the night, you know, we need you to move along, you have some people like, hey, I can stand on the street. So it's a different vibe. And so it's trying to work with, how do we get the crowds to kind of understand their role and responsibility when they're out? So there's a lot of outreach, a lot of communication, trying to get a pulse on what are the key concerns for our businesses, and as well as our neighbors. One of the issues that we're really having is that people were used to quiet. When clubs were closed, it was like, hey, this is kind of nice.
There's homes in downtown, too. So,
exactly. Yeah. And we're seeing increased mixed use. And so it's been an interesting dynamic for me as the one who issues permits, where we're doing some permits now of clubs that have been there for a long time, but they'd been closed. And now, where we would never get complaints, now we're getting complaints because it's like, well, it's back to people being out in clubs. So it's really trying to find that balance of harmonious living. So it's like, you know, you move next to a club, so you're going to get some club noise.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you move into a city center, I think you move there for the hustle and bustle, I would imagine. You know, some of these bars, you know, I've been to some of them, like they use ID scanners, and that can be, you know, potentially a little controversial. Some people are concerned about privacy. But is this a useful tool, like having ID scanners upon entry? And I guess how effective are they?
Scanners have been an invaluable tool for us. I think one of the ways they're a really good tool is they're a deterrent. If you know when you go in that someone already knows who you are, chances are you're a little less likely to nut up. So I think if we know that you're going in, we do that. I think there have been some reports where people actually feel a little safer. I know some women have reported, you know, you kind of know that there's someone kind of looking out for you a little bit. In terms of the privacy issue, the only things that the scanners are really doing, we have them in place to detect fake IDs, which I was on a recent WhatsApp conversation with our nightcap folks, and they were talking about they were having a really big issue with fake IDs. And so it's a really good tool for detecting fake IDs or double scans where, you know, I look like my cousin Cynthia, so I go in and then I get my stamp and then I go out and give my, you know, card to my cousin and then she comes in, so it catches those. So it addresses those kind of issues as well as just age. In terms of the recent incidents that you were citing, especially for the larger shooting that we had earlier this year, it was something that we could use to really identify where folks has been. And it really helped police do a much quicker job in terms of identifying suspects. Mm-hmm. So in terms of post-event assistance, it's been really helpful. And it's been something that has been really good for police to use as a tool for that.
Yeah, so on the one hand, it can be preventative on the front end, and then it also is a tool when reacting to a violent incident as well.
And I think it's important for people to note, too, that it's not a tool that we just use kind of willy-nilly. It's something that we really use in areas where we really feel that there's a need to use it. So it's not something where if you're just going to your local place and it's just doing trivia, we're not going to have folks getting a lot of scanning. So it's usually for our larger venues or venues that are in really heavy congested districts. So it's not a tool that we just, you know, use indiscriminately.
Yeah. I guess this just leaves me, are you enough? I mean, some would argue there needs to be more of you. And you touched upon this in the beginning, like this issue is just not isolated to the city center. It gets the most attention. I mean, but it's something that impacts neighborhoods across Sacramento.
So for now, it's me. I'm hoping that I will get some staff support. That would be nice. But one of the things that I know, and I think one of the reasons why I was appointed to the position, the hallmark of my career is that I'm really good at leading teams. And so in terms of entertainment, we already have a really amazing team. So our core team includes code enforcement, police, and fire. And so in addition to myself, I work very closely with my counterparts in police and fire. Police has always had at least since I've been doing the program, they've always had a sergeant and about 3 to 5 officers that have worked entertainment. And so I've always worked really closely with the sergeant. I've always said that the sergeant's been my work spouse in a lot of ways. And then also working closely with someone in the fire department. And so I think we like to say that teamwork makes the dream work. In fact, there's a lot of cities that look to Sacramento for what we do. When we go to the RHI Sociable City Summit every year, we roll in deep with a really good contingency of city staff from a number of different departments working very closely with planning. We work very closely with our business improvement districts. And I think what makes Sacramento really unique in terms of how we address entertainment is we work really closely with our businesses. When I started, we needed to update our ordinance. And the first thing I did was I reached out to our businesses and said, I'm updating the city code. What are some things that impact you? And so it wasn't just changes based on what the city wanted to do. I really included our businesses. And that's been something that we've always done. And when we go to that summit, we're one of the few cities that when we roll in with about 2 or 3 of our business partners who pay on their own to come and join us at that summit to learn more about how sociable cities work.
So what I'm hearing is that essentially, like, a lot of these systems are already in place, but you're just kind of helping improve the cohesion and the collaboration.
Yeah. So just to prior role, because I've been appointed. So in my prior role, in addition to entertainment, I also was responsible for the cities. I managed the city's tenant protection program. I supervised the staff for the rental housing inspection program administrative component. I'm a hearing officer. So there were a lot of other hats that I wore. So being able to be just focused on that will be a really big asset to the city.
Yeah. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just tuning in, we're having a conversation with Sacramento's new nighttime economy manager, Tina Lee Vogt. We did a little bit of research on your background, and we learned that your brother was shot and killed in 2000 by LAPD, Los Angeles police officers. It was on Halloween. It turned out to be a case where your brother had a replica gun on Halloween. I mean, that was trauma, and that life experience that you and your family just had to go through. How does that shape what you bring to this position and what you bring to the city?
I think one of the things that incident really showed me was kind of the importance of how we respond. And one of the things I really appreciate about our police department is when we go on site or when we do different things, you know, we will go to a location and I think it's not a show of force. it's really a show of support and how you keep things going. And so what I've learned is the importance of how you approach things. In terms of trauma, I understand what loss is. Unfortunately, you know, with all the shootings, you can just see and I can understand how the families were impacted. The gentleman who was most recently killed, I actually went to school with his mom. So again, it touches you in so many different ways. So it's always kind of keeping that human element and always understanding that. So as I move forward, I always kind of try to think about that and always think about people. And, you know, I've worked for the city a long time and I've worked with a lot of great folks. And there was one person who worked with, his name was Jerry Way. And Jerry used to always say, it's always about the people. And I think that's what, when you've lost someone, you really understand the importance of people and how you never lose sight with whatever you do. You always keep that in mind.
Yeah, and that's such an important lived experience because I think with sometimes with new positions, there also comes the concern that, you know, is the city going to turn into like a military zone? And, you know, people have, you know, have been harmed by like racial profiling and feeling like that's going to take place. But what I'm hearing from you is what you and your family went through, which was tragic and terrible. It really shapes, you know, the lens that you view this issue through, which is through a human lens.
It is. And I think people would really be surprised at how we approach it. One of the things that I think really makes the entertainment team work is that the officers that are on the team, be it our folks from fire or people from police, is that we really go in with more of a compliance and a lighthearted approach. So we'll go in, for example, and we'll do a compliance check. And we tend to go in and we're kind of fun. One time we had our officers roll in and, you know, people are drunk. And this girl goes up like, hey, are you a stripper? And he's like, no, this is a really expensive stripper costume for this police officer stripper costume. But they kind of roll with it. And so that's kind of the approach that we want to take because we don't want people to think that we're out there to close down the fun. I think we want people to know that we're out there to make sure the fun is safe. Mm.
Chief Lester, the new Sacramento Police Chief, is excited about your position. What are some concrete steps that you're looking at when it comes to working with the police and the city?
I think I'm going to continue to do with the police, what I've always done. We've always had really great open communication. We've really worked together in terms of putting together strategies for security at our different venues. One of the things that we do, so for every venue that has entertainment, they have an entertainment permit. And as part of that permit, they have a set of conditions, which are rules that they have to follow. So we work really closely with police to identify conditions that work to be safe, but also work for the business, because what we don't want to do is put something in place where people can't live with them or they're not going to follow them. So when I first started, I had a chance to go out with Officer Victor Wolf, and it was really interesting because we went out and he said something that was really true. And he said, if we go out and we don't have to cite anybody, that's a great night. Because that means that everyone's being compliant and everyone's doing what they're supposed to do, because that's what we want to see. And that's really always been my approach, is how do we make it so that people can do what they need to do so we can make sure that it's fun, but that business can still be successful? Because we don't want people to not make money or close down, but we just want it to be safe.
Yeah. Where does the fire department fit in all of this? Because you also collaborate with them as well.
So the fire department is really good in terms of occupancy. And one of the issues that we face is a lot of times people, especially people opening new businesses, will see a space. Warehouse spaces are the worst. And they'll be like, well, a lot of space. We can put a lot of people up in here. And it's like, well, that's great. How do you get people out? So we work with fire to make sure that businesses are secure so that we can make sure that the occupancy is correct. We make sure that there's not over occupancy because, again, you know, you want to do as many ticket sales as you can, but we also want to make sure people can safely exit a building. So we work really closely with them on that aspect.
Another element, and this gets talked, I would say it's probably our most pressing crisis in California and also in Sacramento, and it does tie into an element of safety, is, you know, the issue of homelessness and the increasing number of people who are on the streets in the city center. Where does your position fit in to make an impact? I mean, obviously with compassion for those who are vulnerable and unhoused, but also for the mutual benefit of businesses and customers.
I think that's where, for me, I'm going to have to get a little bit more learning, because that's not something that I've typically dealt with in terms of what I've done with the permitting part of it. But I've worked really closely with our business and benefit districts, and that's where I'm going to probably really lean on them to see what we can do to make sure that we're assisting those folks that need help. Because we don't want to just push them out because we're saying, hey, it's a club. But we also understand that it impacts how people feel safe when they're going to different venues. I think another aspect that really gets lost is we tend not to see entertainment as an industry. we tend to see it as something that's either, a lot of times people see it's a drain or it's something that impacts neighborhoods, but it's really an industry. And it really hit me when COVID hit. And I was talking to someone that had a number of businesses, and he was telling me the number of people that he had to lay off. And I don't think we really understand that there's people, again, tied to it in terms of employees. So in terms of the issue with the unhoused and how sometimes it impacts people feeling safe when they're leaving a business after hours, because a lot of these businesses, they're closing at 2 a.m. That means their staff there's sometimes until 3 a.m. They're walking to their cars. They're walking long blocks. So it's really addressing not just the safety of the patrons, but it's also the safety of the employees and how they feel before and after work, whether or not they have affordable parking. So there's a lot of different elements that are involved in a nighttime economy that a lot of people don't see.
When you check in with the business community in the city center, how are they doing? I mean, we're like 2.5 years into like just really unprecedented times that have really been financially hard hit for these businesses.
I think what we're seeing is we're seeing the crowds increase, but I do think they're impacted like everyone else by inflation. One of the things that I'm always really thoughtful in terms of when we have requirements, or are the requirements going to be something that are an undue burden for them financially? So I make sure that it's something that we really need. So I do think we're seeing an uptick in businesses. I think businesses are doing well. But I think like all of us, you're kind of being a little impacted. So sometimes it seems like, yay, I'm making more money. Wow, it's costing me more money to do this. So it's kind of a little bit of a balancing act. But it's really nice to see the vibrancy of our downtown. I always get really excited when you go out and you see businesses humming. And that's been something that I've always really enjoyed as being part of this position.
Finally, Tina, I mean, you really have a blank canvas. I mean, you're the first ever and new nighttime economy manager for the city. What is that vision that you have for a vibrant nighttime economy here in Sacramento? How do you want it to look like, you know, a year from now?
You know, I think that I always look at it in just the two main things. I think, first, I just want it to be vibrant. I want people to feel like they can go out and just really have a good time and have a lot of options for where they go. We talk a lot about downtown, but one of the things that I've really seen in my position that I would like to be able to support more is things like we have a lot of brew pubs in our suburban areas where music is really happening. And so we're seeing a lot of bands playing at, you know, a brew pub here, and it's just that kind of neighborhood vibe. And so I want to see it not just downtown, but really how we support that. I'm working really closely with our creative economy manager because she's trying to figure out how we find venues to have more live music options and looking at different size venues. So I really see it as how do we bring entertainment to the whole city? So there's been so much of a focus on downtown and midtown, which is very important because I don't want my friends there not to think that I don't see that focus. But I also want to see that there's other opportunities throughout the city, because I think that we want to make sure that wherever you want to go to get entertainment, that there's an option available for you.
Yeah. I mean, we're all interconnected.
Exactly.
You know. Tina, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Tina Lee Vogt is Sacramento's newly appointed nighttime economy manager. Please come back and let us know how you're doing. We'd love a progress report.
Oh, I'll let you know how it's going.
Still ahead, we're going to head to the Central Valley. A city is celebrating its centennial and bringing back a wine and cheese festival this weekend. We're going to give you a tasty preview. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.